Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast. This is Josh.
And I'm Erica.
And I love coffee.
With a splash of crime.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
No, we're vibing.
What's new?
I got a new dog.
Because I got you addicted to the Frenchie life.
I didn't choose the Frenchie life. The Frenchie life chose me.
It's true.
I wasn't going to get a Frenchie, and then I was obsessed with yours.
I remember when I told you I was going to get a new dog, you were really, why? You don't need a new dog. And now we're just full of Frenchies.
I know. It's funny because remember I was looking for a vacation and before we only had two pets, we wanted to go camping. And then I was looking and I didn't realize a lot of campsites have a two pet limit. And now we have three dogs.
But let's be honest, somebody would just have to stay home and watch Sparky because she's not a camping girl.
She's not.
She's a glamping girl.
She's a hotel girl. She's not even glamping.
I'm like, girl, she's 10. She'll just stay home.
Yeah, it's fine. She doesn't want to go on vacation.
Not camping, that's for sure.
Hell no.
She's like, Mom, it's hot. Where's the AC?
I noticed there's not a Starbucks.
This is weird.
Do you always do this?
I don't think she's about that life.
She's not. Fuck that.
But I don't even know where we would leave her.
In a parking lot.
Just kidding. No, get babysat.
She's going to let nature babysit her.
Because now all of our family has dogs. She's not a dog person.
She's not.
She's more of a cat person. So she's just...
Not the cat person.
If we left her with my dad, she'd be like, he has a crazy dog. And then all our friends have crazy dogs.
I don't know. Somebody would have to come over here.
I know, but who? It's going to have to be Randall.
Randall, take one for the team.
That's so funny.
I have a pretty interesting case for you today. But before we get into that, what you drinking?
Today, I just got a vanilla iced latte.
Yeah.
Just keeping it basic, nice and simple.
I'm drinking the same thing, just blonde from Starbucks. Normally I get oat milk, but I forgot.
Whatever.
If we shit ourselves, so well.
Nice and basic.
I am trying to step away from white mocha at Starbucks because I'm headed back to the gym. I'm trying to get my life together. And white mocha is great. It's sweet, but it is really bad for you. When in doubt, cut out white mocha. You'll lose weight. And I'm trying to slowly get Erica convinced to go to the gym. Slowly. I've planted the seed. Now I just have to let the seed grow.
We'll play it by ear.
She's not going. I guess we'll jump into it because why not?
Today's case I have for you
happened back in 2011, and it was a unfortunate case of lust, rage, and anger, and a devious plan of a bunch of teenagers who thought they would get away with it. This is the story of Seth Jackson. Back in 2011 in Summerfield, Florida, is a small town. It's one of those small towns where you go into town for things. Like, they have the basics, like the grocery store and, like, stuff like that. Really small. It's a population of, like, 10,000 people. Everybody knows each other. This case happens in spring. It's the end of the school year. Seth, he was a freshman in high school. He enjoys BMX. He likes UFC fighting. He was one of the chiller kids in school. He was really sociable. He had friends. He really liked to engage in a bunch of different social activities and things. I don't want to say he was super popular, but he was pretty popular. April 18th, 2011, Will, which was Seth's best friend, tried to call Seth one morning. He was texting him when he was at school, and he wasn't getting a response. His friend didn't show up for school. They're besties.
And teenagers are always on their phone, so they'll answer, usually.
Exactly. He's like, bro, what the fuck?
If he's homesick, he's going to be just sitting there on his phone. Or he would definitely be on his phone.
Yes. Finally, during lunchtime, he decides that he's going to call Seth's mom. He calls her. He's like, hey, is Seth okay? Where is he?
Dude, bravo. What a good friend.
Exactly. He called Seth's mom, was like, I thought he stayed at your house last night.
He's like, oh, yeah, he did. I forgot. Like, you don't want to get your friend in trouble.
Cover it up.
Actually, like, oh, yeah. I forgot.
She was just in class. No, and Seth's mom was like, what?
Did I say last night? I meant this morning.
Super weird.
Will was like, no, he didn't cover up for his friend. He was just like, no, he did not stay at my house last night. And she's like, he said he was spending the night at your house last night. I don't understand where the fuck he would be. Like, he's not at school.
So he's obviously super concerned, and he probably has a good relationship with his best friend's mom.
Yes, because they're always at each other's house all the time.
So he's just like, I'm worried.
No. Yeah. Like, his mom's like, so he didn't go to school and he didn't stay at your house last night? And he's like, no. The first thing she does is she gets off the phone and she calls authorities because he's 15.
Yeah.
She calls authorities immediately. They come over to take statements. They're like, okay, let's go ahead and do that. Police arrive at their house. His mom's name's Sonia and his dad's name's Scott. And once the police arrive, they're the only two at home. It's just the three of them that lived at home. They weren't poor, but they weren't rich. They had a pretty good family dynamic. Between all of them, it was a very structured home. He did his homework. He got good grades. His parents worked. It wasn't like it was bad stuff at home.
Right away, I would assume that because of his hobbies. I feel when people have a lot of hobbies like that, you have to have a little bit of money to do hobbies. Hobbies aren't free, you know? Also, the fact that he has learned these hobbies, I feel a lot of times hobbies that will come from your parents driving you places. Okay, I'll drive you to where you're going to go do your BMX. It's usually, you can't just do it.
Well,
wherever.
I read online, because 2011 pay-per-view was huge, they purchased fights for him to watch, BMX races and stuff. They actually even would go out and purchase them for him. So he had the opportunity to watch it. And I guess they even hosted watch parties.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Unless if you have a rich friend or something that's going to give you everything, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Exactly. Authorities arrive. They go to take statements. They actually didn't put out an Amber Alert right away. One of the main reasons when authorities arrived, they said that they weren't going to put out an Amber Alert because 15-year-old boys are the most common for runaways, which I thought was crazy because they say the first 48 hours with somebody under 18 is the most crucial. I feel like it contradicts itself, but
I think there's also less
knowledge.
You don't expect someone to kidnap a 15-year-old boy.
That's true.
Depending on...
And he wouldn't go out without a fight. His structure, he was built.
Makes sense, but they still should report those things right away. But hopefully everyone's doing better now about that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Sonia talks to the officer. She obviously wants to get to the bottom of where her son is. She tells him, I completely understand kids run away. But she also mentions that around 9 p.m. before, she had an unusual text conversation with Seth. And the unusual conversation was, she asked if he needed a ride home from Will's house. She tells him, I know you're staying at Will's house. Do you need a ride home so I can come pick you up? It's late, whatever. And they all kind of lived in the same proximity. I just figured they were playing games and chilling at home. And she was just being nice. She tells him, it's late. I don't want you to walk home in the dark type of thing.
And you never know. She could have been on her way home from work or whatever. I'm going to swing by.
I'm right there. Like, why not?
I headed to Thrifty's to get some pistachio nut. You want me to pick you up?
I got you, girl.
I hope I'm like that as a mom.
You probably
of a teenager.
She said that he got very angry in this text conversation, which escalated very quickly. He started cursing at her and he called her a bitch.
I remember this story now. It's coming back to me.
Okay, perfect.
To me, it sounds like it would have been somebody else trying to make it sound like they ran away.
Exactly.
Oh, I was mad at my mom.
Exactly.
And I ran away. It's super suspicious because he obviously didn't talk to his mom like that.
Yes. She even said that it was really odd because he's never spoken to her that way. During the conversation, he said that he wasn't coming home for the night, that he was going to spend the night at Will's house. He was just irritated, didn't want to deal with it. He wanted to clear his head. That's the gist of the conversation. They're 15-year-olds. I tried to read the text thread and 25 has never hit me so hard. I was like, huh? She thought it was weird, but she blamed it on him being a 15-year-old teenager. She was like, okay, it's fine. He's going through puberty, whatever. It's fine.
I'll just give him space.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is like super good mom. Props to her.
Yeah.
Then she decided that she was going to speak to him the next day after school. He's going to go to Will's house. He's going to come home. And then we're going to have a conversation based on how you spoke to me, like set boundaries.
Let him cool off. And then we're going to set the boundaries.
Exactly.
When you can actually listen to what I'm telling you.
Exactly. Because her thought process was he's not going to listen no matter what she said during the time of him flipping the fuck out. Police are like, okay, we understand everything like that. And immediately, they still think he's a runaway. They're like, that just validates our runaway. If you had a fight, he's gone type of situation. Yeah. What she does is she's like, okay, I don't think he ran away. I'm going to give you a list of all of his friends, his ex-girlfriend, and access to his phone records. Seth had recently broken up with his ex-girlfriend. Her name was Amber Wright, a few weeks before they went missing. Seth was also friends with Amber's brother, Kyle. She mentions this to the police, like, hey, here's a list of his friends. This is also his ex-girlfriend. They just broke up. He was super depressed and sad over his ex-girlfriend that he broke up with.
Especially when you're a freshman, probably your first love and your first probably took his virginity. Who fucking knows? But
yeah,
but that's always the hardest, I think.
Exactly. So
she's you're just attached to a certain point.
Luckily, his mom mentions it that they recently broke up.
Yeah.
To give him more of an understanding of what's going on. Police, immediately after they leave Seth's house, they head over to Amber's house. They said that they were searching for information based on the fact that he recently went missing, and they thought it was odd that he went missing shortly after they broke up. Amber speaks to police, and she says that Seth hung out with them last night. Before they hung out, they were just like outside in the neighborhood. They just met at an intersection and were just talking. They ran into each other. Amber's friend, Charlie Eli, backs up her story and she's just like, yeah, we ran into him. We hung out, whatever. It was super casual. Then the cop had asked Amber, hey, what intersection? Can you take us to the intersection that you guys hung out at? Amber and Charlie both get in the police car and they go to the intersection and they tell him the same thing. They ran into him here. They were talking to him.
That was it. Yeah.
He went home. Police thought it would be best to separate the girls and get separate statements when they're not together. Which
they should have done from the beginning. Yeah.
I think it was just a casual conversation and they didn't have any suspicion to do it.
Yeah.
They separate the girls. Amber tells the police the same thing that Shirley told them. Hey, like, we ran into each other. We were walking. We talked. He went home. Charlie tells the police the exact same story, except at the very end of her story, she says something new.
Gotta find the weakest link.
Exactly. She tells the police that she goes through, they were talking, whatever. They heard a loud bang. And during the loud bang, Seth then begins sprinting away. Just booked it mid-conversation.
That sounds super suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, so she's trying to be like, something happened to him, but we don't know what.
I don't fucking know what their story was, but it was shitty. It's like, yeah, we heard a loud bang. And then we seen some guy there that was like a ways away. He looked like Amber's boyfriend. Amber's boyfriend was named...
Her new boyfriend?
Yeah, she has a new boyfriend.
Okay, so her new boyfriend, Mike...
looked like him. I really want to hear your input on this because it's fucking bonkers. Yeah, I heard a loud bang. It was pretty close. It looked like it came from this dude who looked like Mike. She says she sees Mike and she hears a loud bang and I guess he's, I don't know how many yards away. It's an 18-year-old telling the story. Seth starts running away and he might have gotten shot, but she's not sure.
I'd be like, and you didn't call 911? You didn't think to call 911? Like,
so he might have gotten shot. He might have been running for his life, but I'm not sure.
It's a lie. It's just a lie. Because if you really were concerned, you would.
But yeah, like after that, we went home.
Yeah, it was fine. We just...
Yeah, like he might have been dead.
It's okay. Ain't no thing.
That's what it was. Also, Mike might have been the reason why Amber and Seth broke up. Maybe. I'm not sure. But it could be. That was her decision to go with.
Dude, teenagers sometimes. I just saw this thing on Facebook and it was basically, I think I had heard it a long time ago, but there was this chick ended up finding a dead body and she took his jewelry off of him and kept it and took pictures with it and everything. And she ended up getting arrested for stealing jewelry off a dead person.
Oh, cute.
But I'm like, how could you, if I was a teenager and I found a dead body, or I even thought maybe I was just like a chicken, I don't know. I'd be freaking the fuck out. If something like that actually happened, I'd be freaking out.
I would call 911 and be like, what the absolute fuck? I would never think to like...
I would be freaking out. I would call my mom. I would call my aunt. I'd call the police. I'd be like, dude, crazy stuff just happened.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm too California.
I'm just like, I don't know about all this.
It's just, it's bonkers to me to think, oh, he might have gotten shot. He
might have been running. You know what a fucking gun sounds like.
Oh, she also said that it might have been a firework, could have been a gun.
Sounds different.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially if you live in a small town, you know what a freaking gun sounds like.
Yes, especially in Florida, because aren't they like pro-gun?
I think so, and like hunters. Maybe. Yes. I don't know.
Police begin to question Charlie about Mike and her. They're like, how do you guys all know each other? They start just asking questions. She says that her and Mike both graduated the same time. Charlie and Mike are 18 and they're both graduated. And then Amber and Seth are freshmen in high school.
Wait, Amber and Seth were dating. They were freshmen. And then Charlie and Mike were seniors or had already graduated. So Amber's best friend was older.
Yes.
And then her boyfriend was older also.
Yes.
Okay.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Charlie and Mike are roommates. They have their own separate apartment.
Okay. So that's obviously how Amber met Mike.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because she's best friends with Charlie, and Charlie's roommate is Mike.
How would you get a best friend that's a senior when you're a freshman?
I don't know. I don't know how they all met, if you're that way.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird. They also have another roommate named Justin Soto. And it's really weird because during the statement, Charlie's like, yeah, I'm roommates with Justin and I'm roommates with Mike. Mike and I slept together, but it was no big deal. Now he's dating Amber, so it's fine.
Okay. A little triangle.
Weird. And she tries to backpedal on her story and she's, I'm not 100% sure that it was Mike there, the one that might have shot. I don't even know. It just looked like him. It was dark. She backpedals.
Okay.
But they're roommates, so you'd expect her to know.
Really fucking weird. You would know what your roommate looked like.
Exactly.
Especially because like, they're like my roommate. Best friends. You know what they look like in the dark. You live together.
Yes.
You fucked him in the dark. You know what he looks like in the dark.
Not the fucked him in the dark.
I'm just confused. You literally been, you fucked him.
But she doesn't know what he looks like.
That's weird.
I bet you
know what that D looks like, though. Freaking whore.
She's like, I don't know what it looked like, but I know what it felt like.
Dude, what the
fuck? Police are like, okay, whatever. They get Amber's story the first time. The police start questioning Amber about the breakup. She's like, what the fuck happened with the breakup? She's like, yeah, it was mutual. It was fine. We both agreed to break up. It just wasn't our thing. Cops are like, okay. The two detectives decide that they're going to come together and they're going to compare notes, which makes sense. Which I'm so curious. Sometimes I wish I can see people's thought process. So when the cops come together, they're like, yeah, Amber never mentioned about the bang, the gun, him leaving. Amber just said, yeah, he walked away. We went home. They ran into each other, went home. And the other guy's like, this bitch didn't say shit. This bitch said this. So the police are like,
so it's clearly a lie.
Clearly. But then police question Amber again to ask about her boyfriend Mike being there and if he may have shot Seth. And Amber's like, no, that didn't fucking happen. Bitch made that up.
So bad. It's so bad.
She's like, I didn't bring up Mike because he wasn't there. It's irrelevant. He's my boyfriend type of situation. And Will, which was Seth's best friend, is also trying to figure out where Seth is during this whole process. Like, he is separately investigating type of situation because he's, where the fuck is my friend?
What, dude, what a good friend.
Yeah, honestly, he's a G.
Yeah, like, partner in crime, ride or die.
During the time that the police were questioning Amber about this whole back end of the story that didn't make any fucking sense, they didn't think she was lying because she was just super chill about it, which, okay. So the police are, cool, we have the statement. They still think he's a runaway. The two teenagers don't know what they're talking about. And she's calm, cool, and collected. We'll, touch base on that. Will, because he's investigating on his own, he decides that he's going to go to Amber's house. He runs into the police. So he's like, I think he's on his bike. He runs into the police outside of Amber's house. And Will speaks to the police and he's like, hey, are you looking for Seth? And they're like, yeah. And police, they have a convo with him. And they're like, when was the last time that you seen Seth? And he's, I seen him last night. We were all hanging out with friends. Their friend named Brittany. Will and Seth, they basically were all hanging out. And he said that Amber had called Seth and was like, hey, I think we should get back together. I really miss you. I love you. But before the call, Will and Brittany were like, don't take that call, that bitch. She's a horrible person. You know when your friends have the best interest?
Yes, I do. He was probably going to stay the night at Will's and then they started maybe having drinks or something or weed or I don't know. And then he's, I'm going to call my ex.
No, she called him.
Oh, she called him.
So she called him. I believe they were watching a UFC fight, playing video games and just chilling. They weren't drinking.
Okay. And she was like, she just calls him.
Okay. So Brittany says that she texted him. Will said that she called him.
Okay. Probably did both.
Probably. She tells Seth that she wants to get back together, that she loves him, all this bullshit. Let's meet up. I love you. And gets off the phone. And Brittany and Will are both like, she has a new boyfriend. Why would she say that she loves you?
Yeah, that's weird.
Exactly. Then after the call, Seth said that he's going to go home.
So he lied to his friends because...
Yes.
He didn't want to be like, I'm going to go meet up with her. Yes. Yeah.
And then I guess right before he left, Will had told Seth, just don't meet her. Just don't. I know you're probably going to go. Will had that intuition that he was going to go meet her. And he was like, just don't leave. If you're going to actually go home. Which I love Will.
Me too. What a good friend.
Yeah. He's like, just don't. If you're going to go home, actually go home.
Damn, this chick have beer flavored nipples or something?
Some shit. Police then ask Will, what's up with Mike? What can you tell me about Mike? Because they think it's really odd that this story has had so many different people in it and it's been so inconsistent. Will says Mike is bad news. He can't hang out with anybody his own age because nobody trusts him. Turns out at his house, he has all these random teenagers coming and he can get them meth and they just go and break a bunch of laws.
Oh my goodness.
So they're cute like that.
Drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad. Don't do drugs, kids. The police are just like, okay, thank you for the information, but... Will's still questioning them. And they're like, sounds like he had a fight with his mom. Which is cool that the cops gave him this information to kind of put his heart at ease in that situation. But police were just like, he likely ran away. And Will freaks the fuck out.
Will's like, no, I know my best friend. He would not.
Exactly. And police are trying to reassure him.
He didn't take his Xbox? You're lying.
Yeah,
you're
lying. Bitch. Not the Xbox.
He would not go anywhere without his Xbox. Trust me, I know this.
Yes.
He plays all night. His gamer tag has not been used.
It says he's been offline 16 hours ago.
He's never been offline 16 hours.
Never.
Dude, your best friends fucking know.
Yes. And I think this kind of made
if he ran away, he would have still answered my call.
Yes. Bitch, I would be the first to know he ran away. He'd be at my house.
He would have told me he ran away before he ran away.
He would have been at my house if he ran away. Right. Where the fuck is he gonna go?
Yeah.
So he's like flipping the fuck out. He didn't run away. Whatever you fucking think, he didn't run away. And then cops are like, okay, whatever. So they're like, all right, we have to go back to the station. We don't have time for all of this. But thanks for your information. Police get back to the station and they're like, all right, they try to find Mike. They can't find Mike. So they look up his record. When they look up his record, they see that Mike had a record having an unregistered weapon in his possession once. He also had a restraining order with an ex-girlfriend prior.
Oh, that's fucking weird. It's like, you're only 18. Chill the fuck out.
When they were speaking to Will about the breakup. If it was like a clean breakup, what it was. And Will was like, no, it was Seth was heartbroken and it was messy.
Which is the same thing that the mom said.
Yes.
She obviously knows her son.
Yes. Now they have two people to validate that story. Now they know Amber lied. They knew before, but now they really know Amber lied about the situation.
She's a good liar.
Yes.
Basically. Exactly. Because they believed her.
Will's on his hunt. The police left. He goes to Amber. He's like, I know you know where Seth is. You spoke to the police, but the fuck? She tells him the same thing. She's like, yeah, we ran into Seth when we were walking home. And Will's like, no, you're fucking lying. Like, he accuses her of lying right then and there. And he's like, I know you fucking know something. Then right before, they basically force Will to leave. Her and Charlie are like, you need to get out of here. And right before Will leaves, Amber tells Will, there's just some things you don't need to know.
I hate this little bitch.
Me too.
She just sounds like a little shithead.
She is a little shithead. She's shady.
Manipulative, it seems.
She's a psycho.
Yeah.
Back to the police. They are online trying to research because now they don't think Seth ran away. Something's just not right. Your best friend wouldn't flip the fuck out thinking that you ran away. The police are like, let's just dig into it more. When they dig into the breakup and everything online, they realize Seth had a very active online social media. It was MySpace and Facebook. This was like that transition. Mm-hmm. Their photos online, it's the MySpace photos.
Oh, we love a MySpace photo.
Like, she's in like the spaghetti strap with her belly button out.
I'm honestly surprised that MySpace didn't stay popular and that Facebook was popular longer, because MySpace had a clutch on people, you know, like
it was good.
People were addicted to MySpace, yes, like the way that they are to TikTok.
Yes.
But Facebook was like, oh, I'll make one so I could stay in touch with my grandma out of state or whatever.
Yeah.
But then Facebook stayed active. I think because Facebook was more for all ages and MySpace was more for the younger crowd.
I know it was also funding.
That makes sense.
MySpace didn't have as much funding. I think Justin Timberlake ended up buying it.
It was so crazy because everyone loved MySpace, and then I remember it started updating.
The problem is it updated to look like Facebook, and then it became Facebook, basically.
I think because you couldn't, like, you know when people like something that's just basic, like the iPhone?
Yeah.
And then as you update it more and more, it starts looking like an Android, and you're like, why do I even have the whole reason I wanted the iPhone was because it was simple.
Yes.
But now I might as well just get an Android because
it's basically an Android.
You get what I'm saying?
No, I do.
MySpace, before, you could just do certain things, and then you could update your page with that, which everybody loved, and then you could add songs, and then your top, I think it was like,
eight.
At first, I think it was like top four, or top five, or yeah, top six, or something, and then it was top eight, and then it's okay.
Top 12.
Top fucking 35. I'm like, what the hell?
Top 433.
It just kept changing more and more, and then I noticed people started to fall off a little bit.
Also, this is crazy, but Facebook had games that were like for adults. And I think that's what people got hooked on, like Farmville and all those different games. So all the people of that age. Yeah, so you log in
just to play those games or whatever?
Yes. And it was okay for adults to play those games.
That makes sense.
And then it got big. And then suddenly Farmville, and then I was out here with my strawberries.
Yeah.
I had the Baptist farm out there. I was like, send me nails.
Oh, yeah, you had to send stuff.
You had to send parts to build stuff.
Dude, I don't even remember. That's so funny. I was like, Joel, make a Facebook so I could log in and send myself stuff.
I'm dead. During this little digging fiasco, they realized that Seth and Amber even fought online at one point.
Typical teenagers.
I guess it like got pretty intense. He was just like, you're a bitch, like you're a fucking whore, you fucking cheat, like fuck you. Just like all this crazy shit. At one point you can see where it got pretty intense. Like the fighting got worse when Amber started dating Mike. It got more vulgar, more threatening and things. In late March, Seth actually confronted Amber and Mike at a party. Mike was having a party and they obviously didn't invite Seth because the ex. They get in a huge fight and Mike steps in, and then Seth actually punched Mike and knocked him out.
Oh shit.
At his own party.
Oh damn.
And KO'd his ass. Just bah!
And this guy does meth probably because he sells it. So you know he's
has meth strength.
Has meth strength, yeah. It's, you never want to punch a crackhead because then they're up at night planning shit that they're gonna do to you. Weird as fuck.
Exactly. Well, this became like a whole thing because Mike was like the ringleader of his like hooligans. So Seth KO's Mike, and Mike is like this big hot shot with all the teenagers. So everybody's like, oh fuck, like he just knocked out Mike. And Mike was pissed because he's like, that's my reputation. And then I guess a couple times Seth had come to Amber's house and was trying to talk to her and was yelling outside, but she never came. He was just like, fucking come out, like whatever. I don't know if he was pissed. I don't know if he was trying to get back together. He was heartbroken.
He had the boombox.
Yeah.
Baby, come back.
Basically, that whole situation happened. And then Will finds Kyle, which is Amber's brother, and starts asking Kyle all these questions. Like, where the fuck is Seth? What do you know? And Kyle is stuttering over his words, dodging all these questions, super nervous, doesn't want to answer anything, won't make eye contact. He's clearly lying and he's freaking the fuck out.
Dude, get Will his detective badge.
Honestly, I love Will.
Give him his badge. because he's doing the damn thing.
He's doing God's work.
Can Will hang out? I want him to be my friend.
Me too. In the middle of the conversation, Will asks Kyle, where the fuck is Mike? You guys are fucking besties. I know you know where he's at. Where is he? And Kyle's like, I don't know where he is. And he's like, bro, come on, cut the bullshit. Kyle's like, nah, I'm not doing this. So he just leaves. In the middle of their conversation, he's like, I'm not talking to you, and leaves. I'm gonna just make this really easy. Sunday night, he goes missing. Monday is when Will calls Seth's mom, Sonia, and was like, he's not at school. Then all this happens Monday after school. And then Tuesday morning, a woman named Tracy Wright, which is Kyle and Amber's mom, because they're siblings, she calls the police and says, you need to send an officer to my house because my son has information regarding Seth.
Oh, shit. Because she probably was like, you need to tell me what you know.
Exactly. You're acting weird. So she calls the police. So Tracy.
Bravo.
After that, the police go and they bring people to the station. They bring Kyle, the brother, Amber, the ex-girlfriend, both to the station.
Okay.
When Tracy goes too.
The mom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the way they question them is Tracy and Kyle are together and they separate Amber.
Okay.
Two separate rooms. The thing about police stations is, you know how they record everything and they have access to absolutely everything?
Yes.
Just keep that thought in your head. They get to questioning. This is Kyle's story. That Sunday night, Seth wanted to talk to Amber. Seth comes over and they have a conversation. They get into an argument. Eventually, the argument like goes down the living room, and Mike randomly comes out of the bedroom and shoots and kills Seth.
Okay, I could see that. He's on meth, probably.
Facts. That was Kyle's story. Amber says that everybody was in separate rooms besides Seth, Amber, and Kyle. They were in the living room, and they were just having a conversation, and then Mike had randomly comes out and shoots and kills Seth, and she doesn't understand why. And Charlie and Amber got scared, went into a separate bedroom, and after Mike killed Seth, went into the room and threatened them and said, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you guys too.
Okay.
So that's Amber's story. Then they bring Charlie down to the police station too, because now Charlie's involved. They bring her in a separate room and they want her to confirm the story. That's all they told her.
They're probably telling Amber, oh, your brother and your mom are telling the truth in the other room. You need to come clean.
Exactly.
So then she comes clean and then they're like, oh, Amber just ratted everything out. Do you want to go to jail?
That's so funny that you said that, because I was going to get to next. They eventually started doing that whole police tactic situation. And Charlie gets called to confirm the story. And Charlie says that Seth didn't show up randomly, that he was lured there because Mike said that he wanted to talk to Seth.
Okay.
And she does mention that Amber did call and text Seth saying to come over. I want to get back together.
Because they knew that if they said, hey, Mike wants to talk to you, he wouldn't come.
Exactly.
So now they're like,
okay, whatever. Then they allow Charlie, Amber, and Kyle and Tracy to go into one room while they investigate their phones, because they took all of their phones. They all get reunited back into this one room, and remember over the fact that police stations have video and audio of every single room that they go in, especially like witness rooms and things like that. All three of them decide that they're gonna just spill all the details to one another. They decided that they're gonna try to align their stories correctly. They were just like, okay, so what we're gonna do is, this is what actually happened, this is what we're gonna tell them. That was their plan, to talk about it in the police station.
Okay. It's also has cameras in the corner of the freaking, you can just see the camera recording
the little red light. That's none of my business. In this room, they mentioned their entire plot of how their plan was to bring everybody in, bring Seth over, and they were going to kill him. They mentioned that Kyle at one point says Seth wasn't innocent. He deserved to die because he was threatening Amber online. He deserved it.
These kids are psycho.
I know.
Were they all doing meth?
No.
This sounds like a crack mission.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
Dude, it's just weird. It's just so weird.
Yes. During this time of all of them together, they mentioned the roommate, Justin Soto.
Okay.
And this is when they call Justin in.
Okay.
Because now they're taking this information and they're just calling people in as they go. During their situation, they say that Justin was there as well. The first thing Amber says is, everybody's going to hate us. We're not going to have any friends anymore when they're in this room. She's like, I can't believe we did it. Everybody's going to hate us.
Okay. That's what you're worried about? That's so weird.
Exactly. Police gain access to the phone records and it shows that Amber did call Seth. And she did text him. The text wasn't released, but the gist of it is she wanted to speak with Seth. At 8:22 p.m., Amber got a text message from Seth saying, I'm at the intersection right next to your house. I'm outside. And then Seth meets Amber. She tells him, it's just going to be us two. We're going to talk. When Amber arrives, she's with Charlie. And Seth is like, bitch, I thought it was just us two. It's documented that it's just going to be them two. It was cold outside. They're going to go back to Charlie's house and talk. That was the plan.
Which is weird that he would go knowing that Mike's also a roommate there.
Yes. During the time that Seth was going to meet Amber, Seth had sent a text to Amber saying, if you guys are going to jump me, I'm never going to talk to you again.
He had a feeling it was sketchy, but he still went.
Yeah.
Because he loved her.
Yeah. which is really sad.
That's super sad.
And Amber and Charlie both say, nobody's home. Let's go talk. Back to my house. Nobody's going to be there. It's just going to be us. We're just going to chat. When they walk there, Amber and Seth sit alone in the living room, and Kyle and Justin came out of one of the bedrooms and begin attacking and beating Seth over the head with weapons.
Poor Seth.
I know. They did it when his back was turned. They hit him over the head and they beat the shit out of him. Then Seth tries to run away from them from getting jumped. And Mike had come out with a gun and shot Seth. I believe the leg.
Damn, too far, bro.
Then he like made it to the front yard, which is crazy because this was an apartment.
I'm like, how would people not?
I don't fucking know.
Florida's crazy though.
I know.
Maybe it was super ghetto.
Yeah, it was.
Everyone's like, I'm minding my own business.
Like, oh, hell
I didn't hear anything.
It's a meth house, let's be honest.
It probably is, yeah.
Seth made it to the front yard and Mike had shot him again. And then all of them dragged Seth back in and put him into the bathtub into the house. I'm not going to really get into details because it's really gruesome. But they tortured and beat him in the bathtub. Eventually, Mike had shot Seth again. He had died.
That's so crazy.
Then once Seth was killed, they decided
that... You would think the neighbors would hear all that.
Yeah, I don't really know what type of
they must have just minded their own business. Or maybe it was like a townhomes.
Yes, which was weird. Anyway, once Seth was killed, they decided that they were going to take him from the bathtub and they were in the backyard. They were going to drink and have a bonfire and burn his body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Body has a very specific smell, so I'm so surprised.
I know in Florida, like their homes have very big backyards.
Like, but they're apartments, you said.
Yeah. Everywhere said apartments. I don't know if it was townhomes.
Still, townhomes are like...
I don't know. Everywhere
okay.
Set apartments.
It's just weird. Okay.
It's fucking weird. They have mentioned all this shit in this entire room of confessions, apparently. Eventually, because police now had a search warrant and they were able to go into the backyard of this apartment, townhome, whatever the fuck it was, they searched the backyard and they had an in-ground fire pit. They find the bones of Seth and then they continue to question everybody back at the police station. They question, they're like, his bones are here. Where the fuck is everything else? At this point, they also found that Mike was 80 miles away staying at a friend's house. All this information comes together. Mike is MIA because they haven't found Mike yet.
So he literally was like, all right, you guys just deal with it. I'm out.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yes.
First of all, it takes a really evil type of person to be able to torture somebody.
Yes.
But then he's like, hey, let's do this thing. And then he just leaves.
Yes.
And he's like, okay, you guys all deal with it on your own.
Yes. Fucking psychotic. During this entire situation, so far there's 5 of them that were involved. It was Kyle, Mike, Justin, Amber, and there was Charlie. During the time of questioning, they realized that somebody else was involved. There was a 27-year-old man named James Haven who was friends with Justin. He actually provided and helped scoop all of the ashes from Seth's body, that's really hard to say, into paint cans. 3 5-gallon paint cans. They scooped him up, put him into paint cans, and then threw him over this quarry, ravine, whatever it was that was next to their house, and tossed over. And it goes into water.
Haki, why was that such a good idea?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you just dump the ashes into the water? Why would you put them in paint cans and then throw them over into the water?
They would sink to the bottom and then you're chilling.
But if you disperse them, it would just mix with the water.
I think they probably didn't want to be seen there dumping ashes.
Maybe. I don't fucking know. Just do it in the middle of the night.
I'm so confused right now.
Me too. Another 6 of them. Charlie, Amber, Mike, Kyle, and Justin were all tried as adults for first degree without the possibility of parole. Mike was eventually arrested. He got life in prison, first degree, and he was the youngest person in Florida to ever get the death penalty. And he's still on
death row.
Death row.
Damn. Good. Serves them right.
Exactly. Charlie, actually, after 9 years of serving her sentence, she appealed to try to get a lesser sentence, and she was actually released, second-degree murder. And
that's crazy, because it obviously was premeditated, because she helped lure him in.
Yes.
That's just crazy.
So she was the only one that was released out of all of them. Amber said in an interview years later that she actually wasn't in love with Mike. The whole reason she did it was to make Seth mad. That was her whole situation with why she was with Mike in the first place. She doesn't think that Seth should have died, but having him gone when they were together just made everything easier. Their plan was to kill Seth so they can be together on a meth-infused rage, apparently. She eventually said that she doesn't really know why she did it.
I feel like these people had, like, really low IQ.
Yes.
Because if you're gonna torture someone in your house, first of all, that's a lot of evidence. And then burn someone in the backyard, that's a lot of evidence, because you can't completely burn a body in a bonfire.
I know.
That sounds like they were just really dumb.
Yeah. Mike later was questioned when he was in prison, and he said that Mike and Amber were never in a relationship, even though they had their initials tattooed on each other's genitals. But they weren't in a relationship.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, just friends. Also, they just had sex, and they also lived together. But they were just friends.
Charlie and Mike?
No, Amber and Mike.
Oh, she lived with Mike? Mike too?
Yeah.
So she was also one of the roommates?
According to online, she was like 50-50 at home and 50-50 over there because they were together.
Yeah.
I would consider her a roommate. That's like me here.
That makes sense.
I'm not a roommate, but I'm a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She was dating Mike.
Yeah.
But they weren't together. They just had tattoos on their genitals. That's none of my business.
Who freaking did the tattoo? Because she's a freaking freshman.
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
She's 14. That's 15.
That's not my information.
That's crazy.
Amber says that she was sleeping with Mike to hurt Seth, but Mike denies that he was in a relationship with her. She also said that she did the whole Mike situation just to manipulate and torture Seth, knowing that Seth wanted to be with her. Eventually, Amber attempted to appeal her sentence to try to get a lesser sentence, and the court was like, fuck!
No, throw away the key.
Yeah, they were just like, bitch, good luck.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, that is my crazy.
How embarrassing to even show your face and be like, I need a lesser sentence. I'd be like, you know what? Just let me rot. This is what I did. That's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
It still shows that she just had no remorse for what she did.
Exactly.
Dude, that's crazy. That's a sad one.
It is. It's a wild one.
The teenage cases like this always freak me out because I'm like, what the heck? How do this many people be involved in something like that?
That's a lot of people.
And not be like affected by it. This seems like the only one that was affected by it was Amber's brother who went to their mom. But out of everybody else,
nobody gave a fuck.
The only one that had a little bit of a heart
was Kyle.
Damn, that's crazy. It's too much.
It's too much. It's funny because this case, I actually found it on TikTok. I seen a snippet of the interrogation.
You were like, what?
I was like, what the hell?
Gross.
But yeah, that's my story. Unfortunate for everybody involved, and people are fucking horrible.
But it seems like everybody got the justice they deserved, except for Charlie.
Exactly. She did serve 9 years, but that's not enough time.
That's crazy.
She should have got life in prison.
I think so too.
Like, she was fucking involved. She was involved in the planning. She was involved. No, she fucking did it.
That's a Debbie Downer.
And like, starting Tuesday morning with a sad case.
Yeah, that's really sad. Smokey is up here with us as we record. I think he sensed that we needed an emotional support cat for this story.
He did.
And if you hear the pets, dude, they were savage this recording.
Yeah, like, Jesus.
We had to pause, stop, go. Dogs were barking, running around, chewing bones. Smokey's on the table for our recording session. And he's just living his best life.
He's cozy. That's all that matters.
I don't even understand why he's up here with us.
He was like up our ass.
He's what's going on. So if you hear his little jingle bell, that's why.
When in doubt, just ignore it.
Just know we have a farm over here.
It's a fucking farm. This shit is like next levels. It's like a high school ag farm.
It really is.
So until next time, don't forget to fuck your wife because she's your slut for life. Bye.
Bye.